Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perrier and Calcium Bentonite Clay. We have kind of an exciting program today as I have a client who sent me a list of topics and things to discuss. But first we have some in queue, so I'm going to go and address those first. This is Perrier, the author of Living Clay, and I'm here to answer your questions about calcium bentonite clay, its uses, what it does, and how it works. So fire up your questions, tune in, and get ready. Questions in queue. Donna Robertson says, I've just bought bentonite clay from Health and Fitness on Amazon for $15.99. It says tap quality. Is it safe to take internally? Donna, I would have to go on and look it up and examine what they say about the clay. A lot of companies can tell you it's the best clay or it's pure clay. What you're looking for is a certificate of analysis on purity. You want to know that they have had the clay tested to make sure that it meets federal food grade standards. And that's it, that it doesn't have any contaminants in it, no E. coli, no Staphylococcus, no Pseudomonas, any of the bad things. So that is what will tell you about the quality of clay. Now, all clays are different. Some clays are grittier than other clays. Some clays are better for topical use. Some clays are better for internal use. And some clays swell more than others. If you narrow down to a couple of clays that you like, I would invite you to try two of them and compare. Comparison will really tell you a lot about a clay. You want a clay when you mix it with water for a liquid consistency that will stay emulsified, that won't just all of it settle to the bottom and you have cloudy water on top. You want the water to look gray and not be able to be transparent. You want a when you mix it for using topically, you would like it to be very creamy and smooth and not grainy and gritty or too thick. So I would really have to look into that, and I can copy that email and then email you later as I go into it and find more about it. Some clays will tell you that they are not for topical use, and others will not. I'm trying to copy this while I'm talking, so excuse me. Okay. The next question is, please give me a reputable company to buy the highest quality bentonite clay to take internal. I will tell you the company that I think will, when you go to testing and comparing, is the one that, in my estimation, comes up as the best clay out there, and that's from livingclayco.com. You have to have the CO in there, livingclayco.com. And they have that chart of analysis. They have excellent customer service. They have people who answer the phone and actually talk and answer questions. And I think that's imperative when you buy a clay to know that you can call somebody and ask them about it. It's a 9.7 pH, and it's a triple swelling clay. So there you have my best guess, and if you want to compare it to the one you have and see, you can check it out and see. The differences when you start using them are quite amazing. And then I have a letter from Frankie in Denton. She said, I cannot seem to raise my pH level. I go from a 5 to a maximum of 6. I've been taking Living Clay for 4 weeks. 3 days ago, I increased the dosage to 3 times daily because I was experiencing stomach cramping. I could not eat anything without feeling so poisoned. Everything I eat causes an allergic reaction. I experienced the usual nausea, stomach cramping when I drank the clay, and my stomach soon settles after a couple of hours. I'm afraid to eat anything because of the severe reactions I have. So I have just been eating very little raw vegetables. These problems that I have been writing about started about 2 weeks into taking the clay. Today I started having diarrhea. Can you tell me what it is I'm experiencing? Is this a normal process of detoxing? Do you have any suggestions for what I can do to raise my pH level? I need help with trying to feel better. Thanks so much, Frankie. Frankie, it sounds like what you're having is a detox reaction, that your body is trying to detox quicker than the toxins can get absorbed and get out of the way. It's called a Herxheimer reaction, and it's quite normal. Sometimes you get better before you get worse. I would cut, since you seem to be extremely sensitive, I would cut back on the amount of clay. If you want to stop it altogether and see if it goes away and see what your pH is, and then start up slowly and gradually. The clay is trying to get your body back into balance, and it may have to go through some hard cleaning to get there. I would also suggest taking a clay bath to detox and detox quicker through the pores of your skin. Sounds like you've had a lot of digestive type problems. When you take the clay internally, it stays from the mouth and works south. And if you're having these experiences, there's something going on. The clay is trying to bring it back to balance. Unfortunately, we get some discomfort before we get there sometimes. Stop taking it for a day or two, see what your pH level is and what happens, and then when you start, take a smaller amount. Now, I assume you're taking the 1-to-8 ratio. A lot of people just put a tablespoon in a glass of water and stir it up and drink the whole thing. I prefer the 1-to-8 ratio. And then during the day, you want to drink lots of water because you want to help flush these toxins out as they're released. So that's very important, imperative. And if you want to email me personally and, ask me things, that's fine too. My email is perry@austin.rr.com, and I think it will be listed on the information sent out about our teleseminars after the seminars when they're archived as well. All right, Clarence in Fairfield, could you give me details for a liver detox with a poultice? Okay. You want to make the clay mask, which is a 1-to-3 ratio. It depends on what type of clay you're going by. Check with whatever manufacturer of yours is that recommends what they do. With the living clay, it's 1 part clay to 3 parts water. And when you mix it, let it sit, it's a very creamy consistency, about like sour cream. If you want it thicker, you can add more clay. If you want it thinner, add more water. But follow whatever the manufacturer's suggestions are for hydrating the clay on whatever clay you're using. Put the poultice over the liver. Look on the internet to see where your liver is. Put the poultice over there. You want it rather thick on top, maybe a 1/4 to 1/2 inch thick. Cover it with some Glad Press and Seal. It's very good because it sticks to the skin. You want to put the clay on the sticky side. And it sticks to the skin, but it's not like a harsh Band-Aid, and you can peel it off easily afterwards. And it keeps it from leaking out, getting on your clothes, so you can put your clothes on and go on about it for the day. If it starts feeling hot, it's pulling out inflammation from the liver. And if you get a feeling of a flushness there or warmth, take it off and put a fresh, cool batch on. After a couple of times, you can leave it on all day. You can leave one on at night, or you can leave it on a couple hours, wait a while, and put it on a couple hours later. And it will bring blood flow and oxygen and stimulation and circulation and help the liver get its vitality back. In addition, drinking the clay is going to keep the buildup of toxins from going into the liver. If you drink a little clay before your meals, and if your foods have toxins, heavy metals, arsenic, mercury, maybe you're eating a lot of fish, the clay's going to pull that out before it's absorbed in the body, and then the liver has to deal with it. The problems with our liver and kidney is they're on a treadmill trying to get the toxins out of our body. We have so many toxins in our environment. We're inundated with them before we even get out of the house in the morning. Hairsprays, things we use in the bathroom. So the air we breathe, people spray the neighborhoods, their lawns. There's stuff everywhere. You can't get away from it. And it builds up over time. So the clay baths are getting these toxins that the kidney and the liver and the lymph system have not been able to keep up with that have been stored in the soft tissues of the body. The clay baths are very good at pulling those toxins out, old residual toxins. It may take a little while and quite a few clay baths to get it done, but the pores of your skin are the largest breathing organism. If you get in a hot bath, the pores open up, and the clay not only it pulls it out, but it stimulates the release of the toxins. So, okay, let's see here. Clarence also said, can a granite ware roasting pan be used for a foot path? Granite ware, I don't see why not. Something ceramic or earthy, I see no problems with that. I can't visualize a granite ware roasting pan. I know they say ceramic is very good, something, a clay pot or something ceramic is very good. I'm going to have to go to a kitchen store and check on that. I've never heard of a granite roasting pan. So I really don't know on that one. It's earth, so I don't know. I just simply don't know. I know granite is very tight. It's not porous. It doesn't crack easily. It doesn't wear away. So I'm thinking it would be safe. Another one from Clarence. How much Epsom salts can be added to clay baths and how long to soak? I find when I add salt or Epsom salts to the clay bath, it separates the clay. The clay doesn't stay in emulsion. So there's a reaction going on between the salt and clay. Some people use it together and like it. I just notice when I mix it together, the clay doesn't hold its emulsification. I would prefer to do those separately. Clay is going to do as much or more than Epsom salts will anyway. It's going to pull out inflammation. It's going to pull out swelling. It's going to pull out toxins. I'm a believer in using clay as a standalone. So, you know, if you want to play with it and see what happens, try it both ways and see which one works best for you. Mary Ann Gattati has a question. Does clay help with fibromyalgia symptoms? According to some of our customers, it does. I've had people who have been on the couch with no energy and couldn't seem to get up, and when they started taking the clay internally and taking the clay baths, they had more energy. One lady called me and just prayed and said her pain went away. She'd been in horrible pain and had no energy and couldn't help, and they had a restaurant, and she'd try to go in and help out, and after a few hours she'd just have to go home and just conk out on the couch. She had no energy to get up to do anything. And after a week of taking the clay, she was going back in, she was working, she was walking again, she was jogging, she was really feeling a lot better. And I've had several clients tell us that. So, yes, try that for your fibromyalgia and let us know if you're like the rest of them. June. Suggestions for chronic Lyme victims and nodules in the lungs and thyroid, please. Nodules in the lungs is kind of difficult because it's hard to get. You don't want to breathe the powdered clay in and get it in the lungs. You don't want it like that. The only thing I can suggest for that to see if it would work would be a hot clay poultice over the lungs. During World War II in France, they treated pneumonia and tuberculosis with hot clay poultices over the lungs, and it helped the patients. So, as far as Lyme disease, Lyme Clay will help support the immune system, but it also needs supplements and good eating, a good diet and eating. We have quite a few practitioners that use clay in their regime because they want to help them get detoxed. Toxins build up in our bodies, and they work less efficiently. It's like we're going on two pistons instead of six pistons. So detox by taking the clay baths, drink clay, particularly before your meals, and get those toxins out of the body and lighten the load on the kidney and livers. As far as the thyroid, you can use a poultice over the thyroid gland, and you just put the clay mud on there and cover it with saran wrap and leave it on for about 2 hours, and you can gauge by how you feel. Okay? Thank you for these questions. Good questions. Lots of questions today. Angie Warren, can living clay help people with diabetes type 2 that's uncontrollable? If so, what benefits can it yield for these individuals, and how long for results, if any, are noticeable? Again, clay works with other products to help diabetes. You've got to exercise. You've got to watch your diet. But taking clay along with that, we have some practitioners that use that. If you want the name of one who orders lots of our clay and has all of his customers on it, I can give it to you privately if you will email me or give me a call. He uses a strict diet, and he uses exercise, and he uses clay and some supplements, and he has gotten people through their diabetes, so for type 2 diabetes studies. So if you're willing to do the work, we can do that. Angela also says, is your product sold by specific retailers in the area in Fort Worth, Texas? If so, which one? Whole Foods and Central Markets in Texas carry the clay. If you go to the website, livingclayco.com, on the front page, there's a store locator for stores in your area and they're by state, so you could go in and check and find stores that are available in your area. Okay? If you're fortunate, there is one in Fort Worth and some kind of in-between area between Fort Worth and Dallas. Stephanie, does bentonite remove toxins from the system like mercury that may also be in various organs of the body, and what other toxins can they remove? Clay will remove infections, anything with a positive charge, your bacteria, your virus, your bad bacteria, your virus, your fungus, your yeast, your molds, all have a positive charge. Your heavy metals, mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, it'll remove radiation. All these things clays can remove. Anything that's already stored in the system has to be removed through clay baths or topical applications. If you take a clay bath, lather your feet up with clay and wrap plastic bag around them and sleep with it on at night. Detox through the bottom of your feet, anywhere you sweat profusely. Your feet, your hands, and the top of your heads are your fastest sweating organisms on the body, or organs on the body. So if you can't take the clay baths, one doctor has people put it on the top of their heads, put it on their hands, and put it on their feet to detox. So there's more than one way to get it out. I would also be drinking it, of course, to keep fresh toxins from going in the body. Fish nowadays has lots of mercury in it. Our waters are getting more and more arsenic in it. So drinking the clay takes care of those chemicals. It's just amazing. Maureen in San Diego, I know that the best time to take clay is first thing in the morning, but I take a lot of supplements first thing in the morning. Getting rid of cancer holistically through foods and supplements. Does it work just as well drinking clay last thing at night? You can drink clay any time, day or night. the recommendation to take it on an empty stomach is if you're doing a first-time clay cleanse. It works faster if it's not competing with food. But you just get clay in you and on you, and it will find the time to work. I don't see that it bothers most supplements or nutrition. It doesn't bother your food. I can tell you for sure. I wait about 30 or 45 minutes. I go in the bathroom. I have my supplements there, my morning supplements. I take them, and I take my shower. I get dressed, put on my makeup, do my hair, and then I go in and have my clay. So find what time works for you. Francis Campbell in Missouri City. My husband has edema on both legs and is diabetic. They swell really big. Will this clay help with that? Yes, you want to smother the legs with clay, and if he can prop his feet up and let them dry. If he has an open wound or a diabetic ulcer, you want to keep it closed. You want to keep the clay wet, so cover it with some saran wrap. But I think you'll find it's going to bring circulation and blood flow. And most diabetics don't have much circulation feeling in their feet and legs. So try that. And also, you know, drinking it is going to help him. It's going to help his overall immune system. All right, good questions today. Francis has another question. I want to have my husband bathe in clay for his edema. How much clay would I actually need to put in the bath? The amount that I received in the jar doesn't seem like it would be enough to do any good in a full-size bathtub. No, you need from 1 to 2 cups in a bath. Actually, when you buy clay, the larger quantity you get, when you figure out the pounds and divide it, it's cheaper by the pound if you buy the larger size. And, you know, for him, I would want to say start with 2 cups of clay. He's probably a big man in a big bathtub, and maybe do 2 2-cup clay baths and then go down to a 1-cup clay bath. Now, I recommend that you mix the clay in a blender. You fill it with like 2 cups of water, put your 1 or 2 cups of clay in, and then fill it to almost to the top. Leave about 1 inch from the top. Put the lid on, blend it, start your hot water, go in there, pour it in there, and flush it out real good. Wash all the clay out. You want it in the bath. Then unscrew the blender blades and wash them off. Make sure you don't leave clay on the blender blades. And then have them get in the water. The hotter the better. It's going to open the pores. However, you need to give them some water or electrolyte drink to drink in the bath. If your clay bath is very hot, you don't want them losing electrolytes and passing out in the bathtub. They tell you in a sauna, in a hot tub, not to stay in more than 15 or 20 minutes because people are losing electrolytes from the heat. Now, in a bath, the heat doesn't maintain. It begins to cool down. So if you want to stay in longer, just notice how you feel. Drink some water while you're in there and stay hydrated. Okay? And I have one here. Does bentonite clay remove toxins from the cysts? Okay, I've already answered that one. Okay. All right. Now, I did have a message from a listener, and he had sent me some questions to talk about, and he wanted to talk about clay baths. And he said, I'm hoping to get feedback directly from customers on the topic. So as we're talking this and you have any feedback, send me a message. Here's what he wants to know. He says, while listening to you, I've noticed you specifically come up with tips that's not in your archives. Nothing beats verbal feedback from the public. And I am constantly learning things. That's why I'm now rewriting the book and updating it. Just the little things about mixing the clay. We used to say sprinkle the powder clay in your bathtub. Now we say put it in a blender. You want all the lumps out when you put it in the tub. So we're constantly learning and growing and tweaking. So That's good. What size is most economical to purchase, dry use versus pre-mixed when adding to the tub? For the bathtub, you want to buy the larger quantity of powder. If you're going to take clay baths for 3 months, you want to get either the 2 gallon or the 5 gallon. And when you divide it price per pound, you'll see the difference in the price size. Pre-mixed, you can't buy enough liquid clay to put in the bathtub to do it sufficiently. It would break you. A 1 pound jar of clay will make you 4 bottles of liquid clay mixed in an 8-to-1 ratio. That's 4 32-ounce bottles. So you would have to use all of those for a 1 cup clay bath. Well, actually half of those, because they're 2 cups in a pound. So a 1 pound clay is actually 2 cups. He said, is there any concern with using Whirlpool baths? You know, my brother has one, and he just doesn't turn on the jets. Now, I would check with the manufacturer and ask them their opinions on it before turning the jets on. I don't know if the clay would stop up the jets or not. So call your manufacturer, ask them their opinion, and if not, just take your clay without turning the jets on. Frequency of use, therapeutic versus maintenance, depending on the condition, of course. If you're detoxing from known heavy metals, first of all, I hope you will take a hair analysis or a blood test first to find out just what your levels are that you're fighting and what you want to accomplish. So in 2 or 3 months, you can get tested again and see how far you've come. We had a young boy, and I've told this story about every time I'm on the air, with 7.3 levels of lead in his blood. His dad gave him 2 clay baths a week using 1 cup of clay. He was 3.5 years old, so he wasn't in a great big huge tub. And he did that for 3 months, had him tested again, and his level was at 0. We don't know if his level was at 0 at 2 months or what, because he didn't have it tested in between. But they were definitely gone. So if you're dealing with heavy metal toxins, you want to take at least 2 clay baths a week. I had one lady that was dealing with end-stage liver disease. She did them daily, and she used 2 cups of clay. She was given 3 months to live. The last time I talked to her, it had been over a year, and she's still here. And she had also got through with her hep C. Now, if you're just maintaining, once you get toxin-free, you know, clay bath a week. It depends on where you live and how much you're exposed to, or maybe twice a month will keep you clean. Additional items like adding baking soda, vinegar, essential oils, Epsom salt, is it helpful, wasteful? Might they negate the effects of the clay? I believe they'll negate the effects of the clay. I like the clay baths as a strong standalone. The clay is very strong on its own. I've seen mixing things with it that alter the way the clay stays in the water, so I'm not a fond of that, particularly your oils. Oils soak in and clay pulls out, so you're having contradictory things going on, and remember the pores of your skin are open. Post-bathing tips and suggestions. Okay, what can you do beforehand to maximize your results? You can put the clay on your body, the clay mask, and let it dry, and then get in the tub and soak. You kind of have a double action there. We had a lady with eczema all over her body, and that's the way she approached it. She was taking hot 2-cup clay baths. She would put the clay all over her eczema, which she had from head to toe. And she would stand in the bathroom for a while and let it dry and then get in and soak. And then afterwards, because the eczema is so drying, they would put a coconut oil on her and wrap her in a towel for 30 minutes. And at the end of 4 days, all the eczema, the scaly skin that looked like elephant hide, just fell off her body. Her bed was full of it, and her skin was beautiful once again. So sometimes you need to be more aggressive. Okay, finally, oil use, the mouth, toothpaste, mouth rinse. Do you really need to follow a specific recipe for homemade toothpaste? The 3-to-1 ratio I'm currently using for topicals seems adequate and thick enough to use as well. This is a very simple formula to use, but will it suffice? Yes, it will. The added peppermint oil and cloves, a little baking soda, are just flavor things. The baking soda alkalizes, the clay will alkalize it too. It's just to make it a little more tasty. But if you don't mind the plain clay, and I've used it lots of times, again, it's going to help whiten your teeth. It's going to help your teeth and gums. And there's no need to add anything to it. I like to put a little toothpaste on my toothbrush before I start and then put the hydrated or the powder clay over that and brush with it. That's just my personal choice because I like the flavor of the toothpaste. But I don't think it makes it work any better. Ever hear of something called oil pulling or swishing? It refers to the practice of swishing vegetable oil, olive oil, sunflower oil, etc. around in your mouth for an extended period, say 15 to 20 minutes. Depending on the website, all matter of benefits are suggested, even some beyond the oral environment. Yes, swishing is very good. It's a detoxing method as well. And I swish with clay. That was the next thing he said. What about using clay instead of oil? I swish with clay. I brush my teeth with it. I pack my gums with it at night a couple of times a month. It's very good for your teeth. I'm having less and less cavities at the dentist when I do this. And I see no problem with swishing of clay whatsoever. I think it would all be beneficial. I just can't find, my cheeks get tired of going, I can't go for 15 minutes yet. Okay, and then he sent me another email, and this is from Bill S. in Oklahoma. And these are great questions, Bill, I appreciate it. He said, I've seen recommendations out there for the use of sea salt or magnesium oil in the bath to increase effectiveness. Supposedly such substances increase ion exchange capacity of the clay. I personally vouch for the use of caution here. I once had a problem and began taking long 45-minute clay baths for years using 2 ounces of magnesium oil. I was particularly tired one day, so I used 3 ounces, and within 15 minutes I got queasy, had to take a BM, and the issue persisted for 24 hours, so I returned to 2 ounces and had no problems with it from then on. Your thoughts and precautions. Again, I don't think it's a good idea to mix it. If you want to put the magnesium oil on you, you know, after your bath, that's fine. To mix it in with the bath, again, you have contradictory things going on. The clay pulling out, magnesium oil goes in. So your pores were open, and when you increased the magnesium oil, a lot more got in your body. And that's what caused your reaction. So be careful, and thanks for warning us about that. I'm on a city sewer system, not a septic tank. Does this make a difference? Should I do anything additionally different during prep or afterwards? I presume you have a mixed audience listening on this point. And listeners would appreciate covering both sides of the issue. If you have the clay mixed well and there are no lumps in it, it's safe for your sewer system and it actually helps clean the pipe. If you sprinkle the clay in there and you get lumps of the clay that don't dissolve and emulsify into the water smoothly, you may end up with pipe problems. We had a septic tank expert that said in no way is it going to hurt your septic tank. It will actually help it. The clay, it would take years and years of clay baths to build up and fill up your tank. And it doesn't get it, since clay settles to the bottom, it doesn't get in your lateral lines and stop them up. So it's perfectly safe for septic tanks as well. And then down, he said, let's see. Oh, well, finally, your audience should be aware of Herxheimer reactions or healing crisis occurring by using too much clay or staying in the tub too long. Recommended you review the basics of this point and what we can do to minimize the chances. What sort of reactions most likely to occur? How do we address these issues if it does manifest? These are all great questions. He's talking about a Herxheimer reaction, which is a detox reaction. Sometimes if you're highly toxic and you're detoxing too fast, the clay stimulates the release of the toxins, and if they can't get out of the body fast enough, they stop at the skin level, and you're liable to break out in a rash. You may be lethargic for a few days. You may have a headache, just no energy. These are signs of a detox reaction. So notice that if the clay is working. It is a sign it's working. You don't want to quit it. Cut back on the amount you're taking. Slow down the process. Let your body catch up with the detoxing. I've heard of people, there's a story about a lady that had cancer in her leg, and she'd gone to the doctors, and she lived on the street. She didn't have anybody to take care of her, and she was in severe pain. She didn't have any money, so they couldn't do anything for her, and they pretty much told her to go home and prepare to die. She'd heard about the clay, and she talked somebody to taking her out, and they fixed a tub of clay. They went out to where the deposit was and got clay. Or this little town had a lot of clay around it, and they fixed a gallon, you know, like a trash can, and lined it with a plastic liner and filled it with the clay mud, had her put her whole leg in it and keep it there all day. On the way back to town, she got violently ill, and they had to pull over, and she was throwing up and throwing up and throwing up until she nearly had the dry heaves, and the guy said, I was afraid I'd killed her. And she went home, and the next day she got up and she came to see him, and she said, the pain is gone. I have no more pain in my leg. I feel great. And she went back to the doctor, and they checked her and said they found no sign of the bone cancer. Now, that's a third-hand story, so I don't tell it too much, but that's an example of a Herxheimer reaction. She was purging herself of the cancer, literally, on the side of the road. That's what a Herxheimer reaction is. So slow down on the amount you're taking and let your body catch up with the detox result. I'm trying to read here. Let's see. And this doesn't happen to many people. Generally, you have to be really, really toxic before you have that type of reaction. So we don't plant that seed in people's heads, but you can look up Herxheimer reactions or healing crisis online and read about it. You know, it happens with lots of the different things on the planet that we use to detox with. So the healing crisis refers to all of them. Just slow down on the amount you're taking. Stay with it because it's a sign it's working, and be patient. All right, excellent questions. I'm going to go back and see if we have any more questions waiting in queue. All right. Elaine, mix high-graded clay and put all over the body with a paintbrush. Get into the club and soak. Oh, this is a... We asked for customers to give us ideas. My niece did it this way, as she was limited on money, and it works and is less expensive. So what she did was mix her clay and put it all over the body with a paintbrush, the clay mask, and then she filled a tub of water and just got in and soaked. But she let the clay work on her body first and then got into the tub. Okay, there's a good suggestion. Here's another one from Dawn. Hello, would you talk about using clay with pets? I have a 15-year-old feline who has got overall good health, but I'm noticing her joints give her a little issue sometimes. Thank you. Yes, clay is as good for our pets as it is for us. Now, the story I'm about to tell is one I've told again, and I love it. It was the story of the lady whose brother was always telling her about these new alternative healing things and just insisted she and her sister try this clay and sent both of them a jar of clay. Well, she was talking to her sister, and she said, you know, I'm going to try this on the dog first and see if it works. And so she started feeding the dog some clay in his food, and the dog was so old he couldn't get up and down the stairs anymore. He couldn't jump on the furniture, and his favorite place of all was to be upstairs on their daughter's bed. Well, the dog stayed downstairs because he couldn't get up the stairs anymore. So she gave him clay for 3 days, and the third morning she went downstairs and couldn't find the dog, and she thought, oh my gosh, I've killed the dog with this clay. He's gone off somewhere to die. And she went upstairs she'd folded the laundry and was taking the clothes upstairs, and she heard this thump, thump, thump coming from her daughter's room, and she looked in, and the dog was upstairs and on the daughter's bed. So will it help your cat? Particularly with joint problems, yes, just like it will people. It's amazing on arthritic joints, knotted fingers, how taking it over a period of time, the knots dissolve, the calcium built up dissolves in the joints, and the pain goes away. So it's very good for your pets. For small dogs, I would put a rounded teaspoon of the hydrated clay into their food. For medium dogs, 2 teaspoons, and for larger dogs, 1 tablespoon. Give it to them twice a day in their food. Some of them like it, go for it, and really lick it. I have one lady who can't get the cat to eat it, so she puts it on the cat's paw, and the cat licks it off. So there's more ways than one to skin a cat, and do your pets a favor and give them little clay. Their hair coat will look better. They'll have more energy. You may notice some passing worms in a few days. Great questions today, ladies. All right, looks like we've gotten all the incoming questions here. Let me go back to the phone, and we're over time, but I'm going to ask, does anybody have a question they'd like to ask? If you do, if you will press *2 on your phone, it will signal me and I can open your line. Thank you for the feedback on the clay baths. This has been an outstanding session today. We've had questions galore and Bill's inquiries too. And I love questions because it helps me know what I know, and I haven't told anyone yet. Sometimes I forget what's important and that we have new people and we need to keep refreshing for them. So never hesitate to ask a question. I'm seeing no hands raised. Go forth, take some clay, and have a wonderful week. Thank you. This is Perrier signing out.